tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Without
constraints. Ideas.
People. Technology.
F.
Limited.
Thinking.
Defining.
Tomorrow.
Without
constraints.
The Yonder Podcast.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Yonder Podcast, coming to you live from PTC 2022 in sunny Hawaii. Today, Pete Jones, Chief Development Officer at Yonder, and David Leggett, Founder and CEO at Data Center Hawk, come together to discuss happenings at PTC and what the industry holds in 2022.
Hi, everyone. I was strolling around at PTC and managed to come across Mr. David Leggett, who's the man who's normally holding the inquisitions of people like me and others, and thought, could we grab him for a couple of minutes and have a bit of a conversation about what we've seen going on at PTC? So he's graciously agreed, doesn't know the regime yet of how much of an inquisition it may be. So, David, for those out there who don't know you,
yeah,
what's the brief intro, the
two-liner? Well, thank you, Pete. It's exciting. I'm David Liggett with Data Center Hawk. Our platform, you know, really helps data center professionals make faster decisions with market data. And so we've been going since 2014, and we're in the U.S. and North America, Europe, Asia, getting to other areas of the world quickly. And so I'm excited to be here and chat with you about what's been going on. And I think, you know, for me, one of the exciting things, even at this conference where, you know, many people have been planning this for a long time, you know, we had some companies cancel being out here, but I was really excited with how many people ended up coming, and we've just had fantastic discussions, great conversations about where the industry's going.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And Pete Jones, I'm the Chief Development Officer at Yonder. Yondergroup.com is a place to go look for information, so I don't tell it to you now. Interestingly, first thing you said there about the attendees and the makeup and so on.
Yep.
There was a lot of doom and gloom, I think, you know, and people, well, certainly ourselves included.
Yeah.
When are we going to book the flights? Is it a gamble? Will it be shut down? But I think a sense of, not negativity, but apprehension around, is this a gamble to do PTC? Is it going to be a washout?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, you alluded to there.
Yeah, and I think nothing
of the sort.
Yeah, not at all. And I think it's really encouraging. I mean, obviously, being safe and thoughtful around the things we need to do to be able to have face-to-face meetings is important, but I was really encouraged with, you know, the people that were here. I think this industry really desires to start having the opportunities to get together again. Mm-hmm. I think we all love being able to connect over technology and Zoom, and it certainly supports our business, but I think these type of events make you realize how valuable being in the same room is. And so, anyway, it was
good. Yeah, I had a few conversations with people around, because there's the human component you mentioned, right? It's, we are creatures of habit, and this industry is one that relies on more of that. But an observation I heard a few people saying, so not only were there not a greatly reduced number of sessions and meetings and so on, you know, between us peers, but they were of tremendous quality.
Yes.
A couple of people said that to me yesterday, saying, oh, well, you know, maybe I'll get three good ones in the week, and the rest is just a bit of speed dating or just catching up. People said, no, back to back, awesome quality.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know what that says about
the
our
previous
industry.
Yeah. Or the previous conferences we've been
at. Exactly, but it's here, it's a common observation, so it's, hey, glad we're here, and particularly I get to miss the Irish, a little slice of the Irish winter.
Yes.
So that's what's going on right now. I guess we're on pretty much the last day now. Yep. Things are starting to wind down. You and I sometimes enjoy talking about these trends, and maybe we'll put a few dollars on what will come out, but like, what are we now? January.
Yep.
If we're back here, and if you allow me to grab you off the street again, for such a sitting like this, what kind of things do you reckon that we might be saying happened in 2022?
Yeah. Well, and I think some of the things we're coming out of in 2021 has been like, in significant increase in demand, you know, not just in the United States, but in Europe, we're seeing the Asian markets really grow as well. And so we believe that certainly the first half of 2022 will be just as strong as, you know, the end of 2021. And that's been, you know, through a number of different avenues. You know, I think a lot of people believe that it's just the hyperscale sector that is, you know, pushing the growth. But I really think in the next year, you will see banks, technology companies, insurance companies really look to mature their platform and portfolio and infrastructure. and make decisions that perhaps in 2020 and even in the middle of 2021, they weren't able to build the internal consensus that these companies need to make those decisions.
Yeah.
So I think we'll see that happen. And I think that's a big change, you know, when you look at the last few years.
So are you hypothesizing there that like there are a significant number of megawatts of demand that have been not artificially held back, but held back maybe through COVID and so on, and we're about to see a load of those those decisions be made, those deals get done, which is a sense of kind of some sort of pent up?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we saw that at the end of 2021, really globally. And the interesting thing about those requirements, too, is that they are finding their way into second generation space that perhaps other groups have moved out of because they've wanted to engage, you know, the cloud in certain ways or have looked for, you know, their infrastructure is moving to other places. So that's a really interesting component. And what it does is it really changes the market dynamics, the vacancy rates that the market has traditionally been used to. So that can impact things like pricing. So all of those things are going to be in play in 2022 when 2020, they certainly were not. And we really didn't see them start to emerge until late 2021.
Yeah. From a vacancy rate perspective, has anyone, you know, of scale got the luxury of, so if I'm an end user and I have a portfolio of leases and so on, I mean, has anyone out there in any sort of kind of, rather than one or two example way, got the luxury to be able to give back lease space and not renew things? Like when there is a supply shortage generally in the macro level.
Yep.
Because I guess when we think of vacancy, I guess we're normally saying it's new capacity and how quickly does it get leased up?
Yes, yeah.
Is anyone giving space back? You know, not renewing?
Yeah, there's been some larger users that from consolidation standpoint or sophistication standpoint have had the ability to do that. But most people, you know, typically are going to keep the infrastructure that that they're leasing. So so the fact that when that space does come back, it quickly, you know, gets absorbed is a very big change in our market. And I think it's going to, you know, have an impact, you know, in the future. The other challenge is that you brought it up, Pete, which is the new supply that is being delivered, you know, a significant majority of it is pre-leased before it hits the market, you know, sometimes even before construction begins.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you look at 2022, that will be a trend that certainly continues. Yeah. And so the ability for a data center operator, investors to have land, to have power to the site, to have all the infrastructure needed to do those deals has never been more important.
So from a quant perspective, like say in your platform, and you've got loads and loads of data in there, to be absolutely clear then, like a pre-let, because it is all for, or you know, if it's a build-to-suit, it's a pre-let, all for one client.
Yes.
That's shown instantaneously as 100% occupancy.
Yes, yes.
So there's a certain quant distortion that goes on there as well, like the story behind the numbers.
Yeah, and we've really tried it, you know, at our firm we feel like that's the best way to show when the demand happens, you know, not necessarily when a group moves in, because a lot of times these projects can take 18 months, 24 months to deliver.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's how our numbers work, and it really shows the timing, you know, the best timing from a demand perspective that it can. You know, The other thing that I think we will see in 2022, and I'd be interested in your perspective on this, is the maturity of maybe markets where data center development is challenging from a regulatory perspective, from a parceling of land perspective. What are your thoughts on just these other markets where development is really hard?
Well, it's getting harder even in the normal places, right?
Yeah.
Talent shortage. I know we should stop talking about it and do more about it. But the reality of, you know, in loads of bits of the value chain, you know, just from a skilled work perspective, commodity. Now, how much of it you believe is genuine shortages? How much of it is market forces? But you know, lead times and so on of ingredients that we need.
Yep.
All of us collectively.
Yep.
Are going out. And you don't need to question the cause. I don't think really, because it's not important.
Yep.
The effect is a shortage.
Yeah.
And that's before, and that's in the places that we're comfortable doing this stuff.
Yeah.
And have gotten comfortable doing it at scale. You then say, okay, we layer those challenges on top of some emerging markets and developing world. Yeah. Well, a problem that was hard and should feel hard already, you've just made life even harder.
Yeah.
Well, not intentionally even by ourselves, but market forces are making execution risk arguably higher. I mean, but what are the things that aren't moving? Yields are either compressing or staying flat
yep.
in development. You know, it's not like it's a it's a seller's market, just make up a number.
Yeah.
Particularly in, you know, some of the what we play in, because it's at scale. So, you know, the yields are much more like what we're used to than some sort of super normal crazy yield. Yeah. The quality's got to be the same.
Yep.
The speed, of course, the aspiration is that it will be as fast, but I think probably more important that it's reliable. Sorry, that you can rely on the dates. So, not that everything's against us, but there are a hell of a lot of headwinds that we're experiencing in an already difficult world. So it's we just started construction on 60 megawatts in Mumbai.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard.
Yeah.
Should be hard.
Yeah.
Should feel hard, because we knew that going in. But, you know, in the talent constrained world, the harder, more challenging places consume more resources per megawatt mm-hmm. for the same amount of construction to get it over the line.
Yeah.
So some of these hidden distorting factors, I think, if we say from a talent perspective, there are going to be more megawatts in more difficult parts of the world, in a finite labor pool of skilled people, it's going to consume a disproportionate amount.
Yeah, sure.
Relative to easier places. So it's, you know, we're thinking long and hard about it, and it's, you know, we're about to announce our campus in Jakarta.
Uh-huh.
Mumbai, you know, we've got this great joint venture which we're talking about there. But, you know, Asia is going to be huge for us this year.
Yeah, and I think the, you know, that just illustrates, I think, the importance of having a global view of this business. You know, I think when I started in the space, like in 2007, when I didn't know the difference between a kilowatt and megawatt, you know, it was like the idea of having this business being global wasn't as prevalent as it is today. And I think if you're looking to help the biggest companies with their infrastructure needs, you know, you need to be able to think about things from a global perspective, because that is something that we're seeing become more and more important. What about from a design standpoint? Like, you know, are you seeing changes in the way, you know, the design is being laid out? I mean, do you think 2022 will be a year where, you know, the product becomes more efficient? And
I think we've been talking about a lot of this stuff for too long.
Yeah.
Industrialization, commoditization of the data center, prefabricate this, do whatever. We've never really gotten there, right? Mm-hmm. They look much more like construction projects than they do.
Sure.
Meccano type, really,
yeah.
You know, like say oil and gas, way further ahead of us. We don't think we've really ever gotten there. But I think a couple of things you said there that are connected is more new markets, some of them particularly tricky places to do any type of business, even if we're a, you know, widget manufacturer.
Yeah.
So execution risk is kind of higher. They can be tricky in a number of different ways. Smaller day one deployments, because maybe they aren't proven cloud markets yet. Maybe not, I wouldn't say, altered designs or much materiality on what we know, you know, in the stable kind of, you know, safe places. But this is solving problems that no one's really had to solve before.
Yeah.
You know, give me 40 times, I don't know, 3 megawatt things that I need in 9 months in this list of countries that are going to be fairly exotic, depending on what your definition of exotic is.
Uh-huh.
No one's had to solve it before.
Yeah.
There's no rulebook you can pick up. You can't phone someone and say, how did you do this the last time? So mm-hmm. there's a sense of solving problems that we haven't had to solve before. You know, now I really don't hope we get back into talking about tier four things and all the rest.
Sure.
But another factor in here as well is, there is a correlation, you know, of power liability as well in some of these places. So are we going to see pockets of greatly enhanced resilience?
Yeah.
That since PUE came in you know, in a lot of the normal markets mm-hmm. Going away? I don't know. I'm open-minded about it.
Well, and I think the reason you could argue that is really around, you know, to establish credibility as a place where people are going to invest, you know, data center operators are going to invest millions of dollars, hundreds of million dollars. You know, you have to be able to deliver a reliable solution. And, you know, certainly the more mature markets have done that over time, and people have gotten comfortable with that. So the push for the 2N at the electrical stuff is really, you've seen that lighten up. But to your point, you know, it does become much more important in these areas where data center development hasn't been as prevalent. And that is, you know, that will become much more important down the road.
Any new buzzwords we're going to see next year?
Yeah. Unfortunately, Edge was the first thing I thought of, but we've been talking about that for.
Although I heard a few people actually saying it much more sensibly rather than me just complaining about us talking about it in an obvious way. So I was talking to someone last night and said, why do we need to care what the end user use case is?
Mm-hmm.
For what most of us do,
it
matters absolutely nothing to us, and we should know our place in the value chain. Why are we even talking about it?
Yeah.
Why are we not talking more about the characteristics of, okay, they are distributed. They are, I don't know, pick your number, between 1 and 3 megawatts. They typically have these characteristics. Rather than being obsessed with some potential future use case that I'm certainly not qualified to opine on. I just like whinging about it. I heard a great one last night with someone saying, 2021 is the year that no one started a company. It's a platform. Everything's a platform.
So
there's a time and a place for platforms. The time was 1970s and the place was for shoes or on your feet. So we'll see. It'll be interesting to see what if that persists. I'm trying to think.
Yeah, you know, I've heard people talk about like 2022 will be the year of the supply chain, and you know, who is able to benefit from the work they were doing in 2020 and 2021. You know, what were they able to procure that they can use to, you know, do the work they need to? Because, you know, I think we're going to be in a world for the next probably 18 months to 24 months where there's still a lot of rigidity in that, and it's not as, you know, easy as it was before.
Well, it'd be interesting to see actually this time next year. So if you broadly agree that there's never been an easier time to get capital, not that we had a problem before, but like if you say that it's almost infinite,
it's around.
And if you say that any players, you know, both the end users themselves who want to self-build and you know, and ourselves and various other people, capital is absolutely not a constraint in any single way. So if you say that is equal across all, like you say about some of these market forces things, supply chain execution, because the money is a great leveler, certainly for this year anyway, will we be talking about, hey, people who acted in this way or maybe even culturally did this, or people who weren't too bold with their forward hedging, or, you know, well, with one variable being removed, will it make some of the other variables a bit more clear to see? And who, because unfortunately, I think some people are going to succeed and some people are going to fail this year, right? I don't wish it on anyone, but statistically, surely, there's got to be some separation.
And I think people's success this year will largely be dependent on, you know, what they did 2 years ago and what they were, how they were preparing for some of the, you know, world that we live in today. And I think that's when we talk about succeeding or failing, you know, doesn't necessarily mean companies will go under, but it just means the ability to serve customer needs in the best way you can. You know, if you don't have sites to do that, if you don't have generators to support the facilities that you're building, those type of things, it gets really hard.
And do you think, maybe one final one, do you think, we've talked about, particularly, you know, in the tens of megawatts type scale, that there's such a thing as a lease, and that an end user will take off a third party, and there's such a thing as a self-built asset by the end user themselves. And we talk about them mutually exclusive, they are absolutely different things. Arguably one cannibalizes the other, depending on how you feel about, you know, total demand. But I don't know if you're seeing this, that mutual exclusivity and things being completely separate. Like we're seeing, I wanted a lease day one. I need a unilateral option to be able to buy the thing at some future point in time. It's starting to muddy the waters a little bit of something that, day one, I mean, even in your statistics, may show up as this.
That's
but may move to the other side.
That's right.
At some future point in time. That's new, right?
Yes. Yeah. So a couple things I'd say on that. Number one is the flexibility in deal structure is changing. And it's changed, you know, 10 years ago, there was that clear delineation. And the delineation was those big requirements, the owned requirements being built in like rural areas where you could take advantage of leftover infrastructure and tax incentives and things like that. 5 or 6 years ago, that demand really moved into be closer to the city centers, and that was, you know, where data center operators had facilities that could accommodate that demand, so the leasing began. And it's started to kind of swing back as the requirements have gotten so big. They've become, you know, build-to-suit projects, and so the flexibility of the deal structures have changed. You know, Northern Virginia is a really good example, the largest data center market in the world. And if you look at the way the market is sized, you know, in our statistics, the multi-tenant market is, you know, about 1,650 megawatts. The owned and powered shell market is about 1,850 megawatts. So that market segment is bigger than the multi-tenant segment, you know? And so I think both will grow significantly. But to your point, there could be assets that go from one to the other, you know, based on the way those contracts are written.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we shall see when we're back here next year.
You bet.
And data, where do folk go to find out more about
Data
Center
Hawk? Yeah, you bet. So we're just datacenterhawk.com. We've got a lot of content channels too. You can find that on YouTube, on our blog as well. But our website, datacenterhawk.com, is the place to go. And thank you for letting me be on the show. It's fun to do. Fun to do in Hawaii.
Maybe the first and last time you ever allow it to occur.
No, the last time we did it first in Dallas.
Yeah.
Then we did it online, and now we're doing Hawaii.
Yeah, so that was February 2020 when we did the first one. Jeez, that's scary. Feels like yesterday, but also forever ago. Yeah, awesome. Does. Well, thanks, David. This time next year.
Let's do it.
Tomorrow. Without constraints. Ideas. People. Technology. And literature. Thinking. Defining. Tomorrow. Without constraints.
The Yonder Podcast.